Coming up on The Source, when it comes to action at City Hall, there's one City Council member who regularly shakes his head, asks questions, and then votes no on the major issues. District 10's Carlton Soles has become the voice of the loyal opposition, and he says he's not happy with business as usual at City Hall.
I do have a slightly contrarian view on certain issues, but I think that's healthy.
Soles tells us about his re-election campaign and the issues that motivate him on City Council, including why he is spending so much time diving into the finances and workings of the San Antonio Water System and what he's found that's ticking him off.
Soles has, right now, the highest paid and largest executive staff of any utility in the state of Texas, maybe in the country. They're operating out of a Fortune 500 quality building.
That's coming up on The Source. But first, the news.
The Source is made possible in part by a grant from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
This is The Source, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio is a city on the move, facing multiple challenges and opportunities. There are aggressive programs underway to redevelop downtown, push education opportunities, shake up ethics at City Hall, improve transportation, deal with water issues, be on the cutting edge of green initiatives, and attract job providers. There is little disagreement on City Hall about the direction for San Antonio, but there is divergence about how to go about to bring these programs to the people, how to fund them, and what constitutes success. One of the biggest voices in City Hall who is quick to question the conventional wisdom about municipal initiatives is District 10 City Council member Carlton Soles. We're going to hear from Mr. Soles in a couple of minutes, but first I had a chance to ask Mayor Julian Castro about some of these issues where he and Soles have had some disagreements.
And as far as the ethics review is concerned, how do you think that's progressing and where do you think it's going to take?
Well, we need to revise our ethics ordinance and we're going to do that, and particularly to add an ethics officer for our city to keep people on their toes and to help prevent future issues. And secondly, to end the practice of council members being allowed to contract with boards where they appointed the board members. We don't need any kind of committee to study this. This is common sense, and we're going to get that done.
Saws, water rates coming up for City Council, and there's been they're not getting everything they wanted, but there will be an increase. So how did that come about?
Yeah, Saws came in originally with a double-digit rate request for an increase, and that's going to get whittled down to what they actually need, about just over 8%. That's because over the years, there's been an underinvestment in our sewer system. Because of that, we have a lot of these sanitary sewer overflows that are a big problem, and we need to fix that. That's going to require revenue. So, yes, the rates will go up. Nobody likes rate increases, but folks will be able to see the work that is done for the good of the system and, in the end, ensure that there's a better water system.
City Council Member Carlton Soles on the MPO voted against the acceptance of money from TxDOT, which was a product of the swap from the Advanced Transportation District. So were you disappointed by his vote to not accept that money? Do you understand it?
No, yeah, I think that that the folks who didn't support the streetcar have made their position clear, and so it wasn't surprising.
But he decided his vote was not to accept $92 million that San Antonio had given to TxDOT in exchange to make the money available, so then we would have lost $92 million.
I wish I could explain all people's votes, but sometimes I can't.
One issue that's kind of come up quite a bit on our TPR has been about this banning of people from City Hall, and people are wondering how that works. If you've been aware of this progress or program, or have you had anything to say about it?
No, it's not out of certainly not out of the mayor's office. I do understand that in some instances there's been a safety concern. Those are calls that are made not in this office, but with the involvement of I think our police department. That's something to be used very, very sparingly. But I do think that there are certain instances where it's warranted.
So right now you're satisfied with the policy?
Well, I think that it's always, we should review that, because I think it was an informal kind of practice. I believe that we should have a more formal type of policy, perhaps. But there are clearly instances where if folks act in certain ways that are threatening, that you're going to have to take action. Yeah.
That's San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro. Last week, he announced that he is running for his third term as mayor. It would be his penultimate term before term limits kick in. District 10 City Council member Carlton Soles plans to be on City Council to continue his role as the voice of opposition for Castro. Soles has not officially announced his reelection plans, but he made them clear when I interviewed him in his district office earlier this week.
Well, obviously, I still think I have a lot of work to do here in San Antonio and on the and within the district, so I anticipate that I will be filing in short order.
So District 10 probably looks like there's no major challengers for you thus far. Other districts, it's kind of the same way. And I heard you earlier talking with some of your constituents that you've seen that there might be a problem with the extended term limits that we now have.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that myself and my colleagues don't mind not having competitors for these races. Certainly easier not to, but I think that there's an issue that we need to be concerned that we have so many uncontested races for city council, and there's obviously a problem why people are not trying to enter the race. Some of it may be, you know, we talked about with the constituents that term limits were supposed to, you know, the elimination of term limits was supposed to increase the competitiveness because people could no longer wait out a candidate. For some reason, it's had an opposite effect, and we just don't have that many people signing up for our council races. So it's something we need to address. We need obviously to have as many qualified people wanting to participate in the process as possible.
Recently in the San Antonio Express News, when they were talking about you escalating political warfare is what they wrote about you. And do you think that's true? Is that your role in city council?
No, I think that's silly. The article had to do with the mayor called for two specific items to be added to the ethics ordinance. And I wrote a piece talking about if we're going to look at ethics, we need to look at it in a much deeper light. We need to go look at other kinds of behaviors, not just contracts with the city. And I also had concerns with the proposal for an auditor. So my goal was to elevate the conversation beyond just a simple quick fix. And there were, I guess the columnist at the time believed that that was escalating a political fight, which really not. It's just escalating the dialogue.
The allegation may be that you are playing to a audience in San Antonio, maybe the Tea Party or conservative groups who aren't big fans of some of the things that are happening at City Hall right now.
Well, no. I mean, I think that I try to represent the constituents of District 10, their views and their interests, and I believe I've done that well over the last 2 years. I do have a slightly contrarian view on certain issues, but I think that's healthy. I think it's good to bring all sides of the debate out there on the table. That's what we're there to do. I don't think that City Council needs to be an 11-0 vote on every issue. I think that there are issues that need to be debated fully, and if I can do that, I'm doing my job.
But in regards to this ethics debate that's happening at City Hall, you have taken pen to paper and you've written some things saying that you don't think it's gone far enough.
I think that, again, if we've had some issues and some controversies recently regarding the convention center, and because of that, we need to take another look at our overall ethics policies. Not necessarily from a standpoint of writing a whole bunch of new rules, but from looking at all of the different places where ethics matter. And that might be how do we handle incentive packages that are given to developers or to businesses downtown? How do we use public property in terms of free leases? And quite frankly, how do we use excess bond money that, you know, we have bond savings that people have voted for projects to go on, you know, to be funded by bonds. And when we have excess money left over, we don't go back to the voters and say, what are the projects we didn't get to? It tends to be that we just do whatever we want with it. And we do whatever projects are favorable with city council at the time. So, you know, that's a while that's not necessarily illegal or there's anything technically wrong with it, I think ethically we ought to be looking at, are we behaving in the manner that suits the voters?
All this talk about ethics reforms and ethics violations happening in City Hall, a person who doesn't read very deeply may just look at the headlines could get the impression that there's a lot of playing fast and loose with some bids and procedures at City Hall. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
I think you could get that impression. I don't necessarily believe that that's happening. But, you know, nevertheless, we want to make sure now that we've had a lapse that we go back and we look at our procedures and we make sure that we're transparent and we make sure that we don't have lapses in procedure that could cause problems.
This is The Source on KSTX. I'm talking to District 10 City Council Member Carlton Soles. We got to take a break, but when we return, we hear if Soles really does have a vendetta against the San Antonio water system. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking with District 10 City Council Member Carlton Soles. He's running for re-election and promises to continue his pattern of challenging City Hall's conventional wisdom, although he is frequently in the minority in City Council votes against major initiatives and city programs. Now let's get back to my conversation with Council Member Soles. You've also have been very critical of what's happening with SAWS, the local water utility, city-owned water utility. They had a proposal to raise rates. And I'm in your office, I'm looking at your desk, I see a lot of paperwork everywhere about SAWS and rates and customer bills. And people have said in a way that you actually have a vendetta against SAWS. So can you sort of talk about where you are with SAWS?
Well, I think it's silly for people to be under the impression I have a vendetta. SAWS is a critical organization for the city. They provide water and sewer for, you know, almost 1.5 million people. So it's an organization that must function effectively. Also, you know, they do have a monopoly in that, you know, they're the only place to go for water, and when they raise rates, the citizens don't have any alternative but to accept it. So our responsibility on council is to make sure that that organization is operating in the most efficient manner and is taking the ratepayers' concerns to heart. They need to be effective and they need to be efficient, and we need to be able to maintain our system and secure new water sources, but to do so without putting an undue burden on the ratepayer. And I believe that we're not there yet.
But they had come to the City Council with one projected rate increase. Y'all told them, and specifically you were very articulate in saying this is not going to work. And now they reworked it and they've come back with a lower increase. And how are you on that new increase?
I'm still not good with it because they came at it from a perspective of, well, the interest rates are a little bit lower, we can borrow money a little bit cheaper, and we have more customers than we anticipated, and therefore revenues will be up a little bit more. Where I really, a year ago, came at them hard, and will do so again, is their own internal expenses. I called for them to, on this latest rate increase, to hold the line at 2012 spending on salaries and benefits and overhead. And again, the last rate increase a year ago, 30% of that total rate increase went to salaries, benefits, and overhead, not to capital projects. And again, here we are a year later, and we say the same thing. SAWS has right now the highest paid and largest executive staff of any utility in the state of Texas, maybe in the country. They're operating out of a Fortune 500 quality building. It's very expensive. They have a huge number of employees within an engineering group. I think there's 200 in that department. And yet they still wind up hiring consultants on virtually every project. So we look at there's a lot of personnel in PR and advertising. They, in my opinion, have a lot of internal cuts to do, and they've not really been serious about that. So I'm going to hold their feet to the fire to make sure that they're efficient before they come to the citizens of San Antonio asking for more money.
Well, they say they need additional funds to deal with the sewer spill problem that they have and also to find new sources of water in the city.
And I don't disagree that those are two areas that are critical. I mean, we know that rates are going to go up. As much as I wish I could tell people that we can hold rates, you know, down to nothing, that's not true. We will have to raise rates. But again, they need to be doing everything they can to mitigate those rate increases. You know, you talk about this one, it may be somewhere in the neighborhood of $40 to $50 a year for the average family. That could be a week's worth of groceries to people that are already struggling. This is serious. I'm not going to just stand by and allow rates to go through just because they say they want them or need them. They're going to have to prove it. And then they're going to have to prove that they've made the cuts necessary. That I can go back to my constituents and say they truly are operating effectively and efficiently.
Another area that you've been critical with in City Hall, you've been a voice of opposition, is what's happening with the streetcars. You're on the MPO, a Metropolitan Planning Organization. You voted against the acceptance of a $92 million from TxDOT in a swap. The city, or the Advanced Transportation District, which is gets funds from the sales tax, sent the dollars to TxDOT, and then they gave them back to us, but now they were not tainted with the restrictions of not being able to use for light rail.
That's a really confusing description, but I think it's accurate. My position on streetcars has been pretty consistent. I believe that this is a very controversial issue. I think that the voters, the majority of the people in San Antonio, are against it. They voted in 2001 against light rail. In 2004, when we voted on the advanced transportation dollars, clearly they were not looking for streetcars or rail to be part of those dollars. I think on this particular issue, it needs to go before the voters once and for all. Streetcars are just the first part of a much larger via plan for, you know, expansion of streetcars and then rail. I think before we head down this path any farther, it's time to let the voters have another say.
Well, you said that voters voted against streetcars previously. That was a very ambitious plan, and it was even people who were in favor of streetcars voted against that plan because it was just a huge project that may not have fit San Antonio. So is it fair to say that there is a prohibition on streetcars because of one vote? Frequently, sometimes, you know, voters get another chance at things.
I think that, again, at least within District 10, I have yet to run across a constituent that is enthusiastic about $200 million worth of money going towards streetcars. And I think one of the misnomers is that we look at, well, this is city money or it's county money or it's state money or it's federal money. You know, the taxpayers know it's their money. And however you package it up, they're still paying for it. So, you know, again, if the proponents of streetcars are so confident that the citizens of San Antonio want it, then let's put the issue to bed once and for all and bring it back to a vote.
It seemed like you've been like the foot on the brake of City Hall as it tries to go full throttle. I mean, is your role on City Council now, you're the person who says, now, hang on a second, let's take another look at this?
I guess somehow I've fallen into that role. That wasn't intentionally, that wasn't where I intended to go originally. You know, I want to, you know, not get characterized as the guy that always says no. there's a lot of things we do want to do, but we have we're constrained by reality. And here's my concern. We are a growing city. We have a lot of needs. We have a lot of infrastructure to take care of. But we don't have a growing revenue stream. In other words, the general fund that takes care of things like police and fire and roads and parks and libraries, that's been stagnant despite the growth. So my focus is asking people to slow down and make sure we're taking care of the basic things we need to take care of first before we start adding pressure to the general fund. And, you know, streetcars, you know, a portion of that is being paid for out of the general fund. We're seeing some of the pre-K for SA coming into the general fund. So, you know, I'm really focused on doing the things that we need to do first. We need good fire and police. We need good roads. We need good drainage. We need sidewalks. We need libraries that are open when people can actually use them. We need parks we can be proud of that people want to go to. All that takes money, and all these other new initiatives are a drain on that same pot of money. So, you know, from a positive side, what can we do? I want to focus on making the city more competitive. I want us not to be losing business to outlying communities. I want businesses to come to San Antonio and generate jobs and generate revenues that help fuel the city's needs.
This is The Source on KSTX. We've been talking with District 10 City Council Member Carlton Soles. He is seeking re-election, and thus far, no major challenger has stepped up. Earlier in the program, we heard from Mayor Julian Castro. You can hear this program again and comment on it on our website at tpr.org. There are also past Source programs available there to listen to. Wayne Coble is the Texas Public Radio Program Director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. Paul Flav is in charge of TPR operations. We get production help from Catherine Dixon. I'm David Martin Davies. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio.